turn with me in your Bibles at this time to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 through 34. We are in the fourth week now of our series on Christian Home Fixer Upper. We're talking about marriage and family and couples and singles and husbands and wives and mothers and fathers and children and parents, all different aspects of Christian home and family. And today's message focuses on singles. You know, not everyone gets married, but everyone is single at some point in their life. And then even many of us who are married today will be single again sometime in the future. Marriage is a lifelong commitment, but it is not a permanent state. And unless you and your spouse die at precisely the same time, one of you will be single again in this life. Life's uncertain in that way. We don't know what the future holds. Any one of us could find ourselves single tomorrow. And that's not to make us gloomy or fearful, but we should be prepared for all things in life, and we should never take our loved ones for granted. Some people might say, why include a message on singles in a series on Christian home and family? And I would answer, just talk to some of the singles in our church, and you will understand why. Singles can often feel left out by the church and wonder what God has in store for them. Some singles feel called to be single. Others long for marriage and family. But according to the Bible, singles have a special place in the body of Christ and special opportunities in the body of Christ. So that's what I want us to talk about today. We're going to be looking at a number of scripture passages today. There's even an outline in your bulletin that you can follow along on that will show you the different scriptures, and there's a place to take notes. But we're going to begin right this morning in Matthew 6, 31 to 34. Will you stand with me, please, for the reading of God's holy word? These are the words of Jesus from the Sermon on the Mount, beginning at verse 31. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. This is the word of God. Let us pray, dear God, speak to us now through your word. Give us open hearts and minds to receive what your Spirit would say to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. So the question that we pose right there on the top of your outline this morning is, what does it mean to seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness as a single person in the body of Christ? Now, to begin with, we should realize that there's not just one type of single person. I think too often when we talk about singles, people immediately think 20-something and looking, right? We immediately jump to that stereotype, to that generalization. But singles span the age range all the way from teenagers to the elderly. And so when we talk about singles, we're talking about a wide variety of situations. I'm talking to teenagers here today who obviously are single and more often than not are beginning to think about dating, if not already dating. I'm talking about college-age young adults who are either already dating or wanting to be dating. I'm talking to singles who have never been married, singles of all ages who've never married. Talking to singles who have been married in the past, but now find themselves single again, either through divorce or the death of a spouse. I'm talking to those singles who are happy being single, may even be, feel called to be single. And I'm talking to those singles who are miserable being single and are desperately longing to be with someone. See, there's no one type of single person in the church. But if there's one consistent message that I've heard from single people in the church over the years, is that they often feel overlooked, undervalued, or neglected. And that's one of the reasons why I've prepared this message today, because singles are one of God's great gifts to the church. And as a single person, you have really some wonderful opportunities to minister and to serve, to make a valuable contribution to God's kingdom while you are single. And this is true whether you feel called to be single or whether you are maybe only single for a season. I also believe that singles have unique needs as persons and that the church body is uniquely qualified to minister to those needs. Now, if we look at our text this morning from Matthew 6, this is not specifically directed to singles in the Sermon on the Mount. We are all called to seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness. And so even if you're not single this morning, I don't want you to tune out on the message because this passage, in fact, all the passages that we'll be looking at this morning also apply to you. But I am going to speak directly to the singles. There's a special word in here for our singles this morning. Let me reread it to you again. Keep it on the screen. Look at the screen. You'll notice it's going to be a little different. I'm going to paraphrase it as we go along and make specific application to singles as we go. So once again, do not worry saying, what shall I eat? Or what shall I drink? Or whom shall I date? Or who will take care of me? Or will I ever get married? For non-believers run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows what you need. But seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and God will give you all that you need. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So that's the question we're looking at this morning. What does it mean to seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness as a single person in the body of Christ? And if you've already looked at your outline, you can see we're going to be looking at four guidelines from Scripture to help you answer that question this morning. Once again, although I'm speaking specifically to singles, these principles apply to all of us in the body of Christ as we are called to seek God's kingdom first. So here's our first principle. First guideline for singles, serve Christ wholeheartedly while you are single. Serve Christ wholeheartedly while you are single. One of the great advantages to being single is that the single person is free from the concerns of married life, and therefore they are able to give their undivided attention to ministry for the Lord. And the Apostle Paul writes directly about this in 1 Corinthians 7. He's writing to singles. And this is what he says, beginning at verse 32. He says, I would like you to be free from concern. An unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs, how he can please the Lord. But a married man is concerned about the affairs of this world, how he can please his wife, and his interests are divided. An unmarried woman or virgin is concerned about the Lord's affairs. Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in both body and spirit. But a married woman is concerned about the affairs of this world, how she can please her husband. I'm saying this for your own good, not to restrict you, but that you may live in a right way in undivided devotion to the Lord. Now, as much as I enjoy being married, Paul is absolutely correct here. There are some definite advantages to being single as far as ministry is concerned. Once you marry, much of your ministry in life is directed towards your family. And there's nothing wrong with that. You just have a different set of responsibilities. As much as I love you all and as much as I love this church, I need you to know that my primary responsibility is still to my family. And I must minister to Rosie and my boys first if I'm going to be faithful to God and if I'm going to be a faithful minister to this church. And I would encourage all of you who are married to view it that way, to see your families as the main ministry that God has entrusted to your care. Now, earlier in 1 Corinthians 7, if we go back to verse 7, Paul wrote about the gift of being single. He writes this. He said, I wish that all men were as I am. Paul was single at this time. He says, but each man has his own gift from God. One has this gift, another has that. Some people have what we sometimes call the gift of celibacy or the gift of singleness. Jesus also spoke about this gift in Matthew chapter 19. He had just been speaking about the lifelong nature of marriage. And the disciples, who apparently had bought into some of the easy divorce teaching of their day, responded in this way. They said, well, if this is the situation between a husband and wife, it is better not to marry. And Jesus replied, not everyone can accept this word, but only those to whom it has been given. For some are eunuchs because they were born that way, others were made that way by men, and others have renounced marriage because of the kingdom of heaven. And the one who can accept this should accept it. And so Jesus is talking to different categories of married and single, but he's speaking also of a gift of singleness. So what are we to make of this gift? You know, some singles would say, if singleness is a gift, where do I return it? You know, where's my gift receipt? I don't like this gift of singleness. Well, let me tell you something. If you are not happy being single, and a lot of people are not happy being single, if you are not happy being single, that is probably a good indication that God has not given you the gift of singleness. That's not God's life calling to you, the gift of being content in that. You just happen to be single. But, and this is important, either way, whether singleness is a life calling and a gifting from God, or if you just happen to be single at this time in your life, know that God is still in control. And that means that God has called you to be single, at least for this season that you are in right now. And that means that you have some unique opportunities to serve Christ while you are single. And those unique opportunities can best be summed up with this phrase, free from other responsibilities. Let's go back to Matthew 6 for a minute now. Matthew 6, 34, when Jesus says, do not worry. The word that he uses there is a word which means to be anxious or worried because you are taking care or responsibility for something. It's the same word we find in Luke 10, 41, where we read about Mary and Martha, and Mary's sitting at Jesus' feet, and Martha's running around all distracted. And what did Jesus say? Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Now, if you go back to 1 Corinthians 7, same word here that's translated concerned. When he says, I don't want you to be concerned in the sense that in marriage you have certain God-given responsibilities that rightly take up your time and thoughts. And Paul is saying that the single person has a freedom in this area that married people do not. That's why in verse 35, Paul goes on to say, I'm saying this for your own good, not to restrict you, but that you may live in a right way in undivided devotion to the Lord. What's Paul saying here? He's saying that you should use this time of singleness in your life to serve Christ in ways that you may not be able to once you are married. Let me talk to our college students and young adults for a moment. I want you to understand this can really be one of the best times in your entire life for ministry. You have so much time and energy that you can pour into ministry and serving Christ while you are single. You can take off and serve God in ways that you never could with the responsibilities of a spouse or family. Some Christian singles are able to give more time to active ministry in the church. Others are able to give themselves to world-changing prayer. Some are able to go off on short-term mission trips or take on more risky or uncomfortable assignments because they are single. When I was a single young adult, I served as a youth pastor at a church in Burbank, California, and they really couldn't pay me a whole lot, really not much of anything. So what I did is I left the apartment where I was living and I moved into the church. I slept in a Sunday school classroom. I cooked in the church kitchen. I ate in the fellowship hall, and I showered in the janitor's closet. It was good times. I look back and go, those were great years of ministry. But you know what? I couldn't do that now that I'm married. I have responsibilities to my family. I don't think Rosie really wants to shower in the janitor's closet. It's not going to happen. Tim, how about you, bud? No, I see I got the... Wait, you're young and single. But you see, the Bible doesn't say that being single is better than being married. It doesn't say being married is better than being single. They are just different. They are different callings with different sets of responsibilities and different sets of opportunities. All I'm saying is this, whether you feel called to be single for the long term or not, realize that you have unique opportunities for ministry while you are single. And so talk to God about it. Ask Him, God, what would you have me to do? Once again, these could be some of the best years of ministry in your whole life. So that's our first guideline this morning. Serve Christ wholeheartedly while you are single. Our second guideline is this. Commit yourself to uncompromising moral purity. Back to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew 6:33 says what? Seek first God's kingdom and His righteousness. Let me caution you, nothing will sidetrack your relationship with God faster than compromising in the area of moral purity. Nothing will hinder your ability to know and follow God's will for your life like giving in to moral impurity. Our text for this point is 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 3 through 8. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. And therefore, he who rejects this instruction does not reject man, but God, who gives you His Holy Spirit. God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Now, once again, this is a word for all of us, married or single. As Christians, we are all called to righteousness and moral purity. And marriage is not a free ticket out of temptation's way, is it? Married people also struggle with issues of purity. But marriage can be, and it is meant to be, a guard against immorality. That's why Paul can say in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 2, he said, since there is so much immorality in our day and in his, each man should have his own wife and each woman her own husband. Paul is so practical, and he recognizes that those who are single can be especially tempted in this whole area of sexual immorality and moral impurity. Let me talk to our teenagers for a moment. Teenagers, I want you to know this is the very best time in your life to make an absolute commitment in this area. To make that commitment now before you make a lot of mistakes that you will regret later in life. We talk to our young adult singles. Young adults, the world keeps telling you that there is nothing wrong with sexual activity before marriage. In fact, the world expects you to be sleeping around before marriage. There are some people who stay single because they want to be sleeping around before marriage. That's the world we live in. Do not let the world around you squeeze you into its mold. But make this commitment now. Commit yourself to uncompromising moral purity in your life so that, and this is so important, so that God can direct you to the right persons and the right situations at the right times. Make a solid commitment now not to be sexually involved with anyone outside of marriage, and also in this day and age and culture, make a commitment not to live together with anyone outside of marriage, but commit to doing things right and following God's way. Now let me talk to our older singles for a minute, because we sometimes think this is just a problem for our younger singles. But our older singles, whether you've never been married or whether you find yourself single again after being previously married, you know very well that being older does not make you invulnerable to sexual temptation. In fact, one of the things I'm beginning to understand and notice more and more is that sometimes us older people can fall more easily into compromise or sexual sin than many of our younger people who've taken a strong stand to wait until marriage. So no matter what your age or season of life this morning, God's challenge to you is to commit yourself to uncompromising moral purity in your life. You know, there's a wonderful promise that Jesus gives along with this command in verse 33, Matthew 6:33. Take a look at the whole verse. Seek first God's kingdom and His righteousness, and now here comes the promise, and all these things will be added to you as well. That means that God will provide what you need, provided that you seek His kingdom and His righteousness first. Don't cheat yourself out of God's best for you by compromising your moral purity. Our third guideline is this: pursue God-honoring relationships with other believers. Pursue God-honoring relationships with other believers. Look with me at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. This, by the way, is the best verse I know of on dating in the whole Bible. If you're looking for the best verse in dating, go right to 2 Timothy 2:22. Listen to what it says. Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Flee the evil desires of youth. That's what we were just talking about, right? As far as not compromising our purity, seeking God's righteousness first. But then listen to what it says next. Pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Now, I love this verse for a number of reasons. First of all, it tells you what you should be looking for in a relationship. Have you ever wondered whether or not you were in a good relationship? Sometimes we're in a relationship, we wonder, is this a good relationship? Should I continue in this one? Well, this verse gives you four criteria by which you may evaluate your relationships. Simply ask yourself this: is this relationship helping me to grow in righteousness, faith, love, and peace? If so, then it's a good relationship. If not, then it's a bad relationship. It's that simple. It's very simple. First of all, righteousness. Is this relationship helping you to grow in righteousness, or is it causing you to compromise in these areas of purity that we've been speaking about? Next, faith. Is this relationship helping you to grow in your faith in Jesus Christ? Or is it holding you back? Is it dragging you down? Thirdly, love. Is this relationship helping you to grow in love? Or are you growing in selfishness? If it is a good relationship, it's going to bring out the best in you so that you're growing in love for God and for other people. And then fourthly, peace. Is this a relationship that is marked by peace? Peace in your own heart with God, peace with your friends and family, peace with the other person. And this last one, peace, this one should be a no-brainer, right? But I can't tell you how many people pursue relationships that are marked by conflict and stress. And they just stay in that relationship and there is no peace. And if there's no peace, folks, it is not a good relationship. This verse not only tells you what to look for in a relationship, it tells you who to look for. Did you notice that? Those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. And singles, I cannot tell you how much heartache and grief you will spare yourself if you will follow this one simple rule in your life. Ready? I will only date other persons who are true believers and who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. That is the number one criteria you should look for in any dating relationship. Does this person love God with all of their heart? Dating a non-believer is not only foolish, but it is disobedience to God and to His word here in 2 Timothy 2:22. I also like this verse because it is a reminder that we all need healthy relationships within the body of Christ and that there are many types of relationships in the body of Christ. And so, singles, don't just pursue dating relationships. That's a very narrow focus. If all we're ever doing is pursuing dating relationships, then we're missing out. Recognize the wealth of relationships that God provides for you within the body of Christ. Single women, you need lots of good Christian friendships, both male and female. Single men, you need lots of good Christian friendships, both male and female. Those of you struggling with same-sex attraction, you need lots of good Christian friendships, both male and female. Even those who feel they are called to be single for life still need good friends of both sexes and of all ages. God can fulfill so many of your needs for friendship, companionship, and support simply through fellowship in the body of Christ. And so if you concentrate only on the dating relationships, you're going to miss out on the many wonderful friendships God has for you in the church. A word to our married couples here now. Married couples and families, I encourage you to be sensitive to the needs of our singles in these areas. Understand that singles need good friends, and they need to be welcomed into our homes. They need to enjoy time interacting with couples and with families. And young singles need to come in, and older singles need to come in, and we need to reach out to each other in hospitality. So married couples, I would encourage you, ask God, how would he have you reach out in friendship to the singles in your community and in your church? When I was a single adult in California, there was a family in the church that adopted me along with the other single adults in the church. And we were all far away from our homes and families, but they took us out to dinner regularly on Sunday afternoons. They'd have us over to their home to play games. They'd have us into their homes on holidays. And it was a wonderful ministry. It was an elderly couple, and we just loved them. They ministered to us in our time of need. Everyone needs good friendships, and the best friendships can be found within the body of Christ. So that's guideline number three. Pursue God-honoring relationships with other believers. And then there's one final principle I'd like us to look at this morning. It's found in Psalm 37, verse 4, the scripture that we read earlier in the service. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. This is the Old Testament counterpart to Matthew 6:33. You know, seek God first in your life, and he will give you all those other things that you need. But if you run after all those other things first, you will lose both them and God. And too often we are so busy pursuing our own happiness that we miss out on God's best for us. So once again, use this time of singleness in your life to grow in Christ, to find contentment in him, and to delight yourself in the Lord, to wait on the Lord, to trust in him, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And that may mean that he will bring along that special person that you've been praying for, that you long for so much in your life. It may mean that he will fulfill your desire and need for companionship in other ways. I can't tell you what it will be, but I can tell you this, that his promise is certain, that his promise is sure. Delight yourself in him, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now let me give a word specifically to some of our older singles here too. If you are recently widowed or divorced, let me encourage you, do not automatically go looking for a new spouse or a new relationship. Don't be in a hurry about this, but take some time, delight yourself in God, and see what he has for you in this season of singleness. There are times when it would not be right to remarry after a divorce. And there are times when it may be better to remain unmarried after the death of a spouse. Let me read to you from 1 Corinthians 7, verses 39 and 40. Paul writes, "A woman is bound to her husband as long as he lives. But if her husband dies, she is free to marry anyone she wishes, but he must belong to the Lord. In my judgment, she is happier if she stays as she is. And I think that I too have the Spirit of God." Paul says there's nothing wrong with getting married again if your spouse has died, as long as you marry another believer. That's a command in there. But in Paul's judgment, which is bolstered by the Spirit of God, he says you may be happier if you stay as you are. And so that's something that we at least must consider, that we should pray about it. We should talk about it with other Christians whom you trust and respect. See what God may be saying to you. Remember, once you are single, you can stay single as long as you like. Once you choose to marry, no matter at what age, there's no turning back. Marriage is a lifelong commitment. So don't rush into things, I believe is what we learn from 1 Corinthians 7, 39 and 40 here. So what does it mean to seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness as a single person in the body of Christ? How do you do that? Four very practical guidelines we have from Scripture this morning. Number one, serve Christ wholeheartedly while you are single. Number two, commit yourself to uncompromising moral purity. Number three, pursue God-honoring relationships with other believers. And then number four, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Singles, I firmly believe God wants to use you in a special way during this season of your life. So I ask you, will you trust him for that? Will you seek God's kingdom and His righteousness first? Will you be single-minded for Christ? Let us pray. Dear God, I thank You that Your Word is there for us at all times and all seasons of our life. In all of our circumstances, Lord, You have guidance and instruction for us. Lord, forgive us for the times that we fall short. We thank You, God, that our relationship with You is not based on our performance, but it is all based on grace and forgiveness in Jesus Christ, who died for us on the cross that we might be forgiven. Lord, we love You and we want to please You with our lives. And Lord, I just pray a special prayer for all of our singles here this morning. They are such an important part of this church, such an important part of Your kingdom. And God, You have good plans for each and every one of them. Good plans right now in the present and this season. Good plans for the future. Lord, I pray that as they seek You, as they seek Your kingdom and Your righteousness first, they will know those plans that You have for them. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.